Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm broadcasting live from the Administaff Small Business Classic here in Woodlands, Texas, and having a great time this week helping Administaff to celebrate the third annual Small Business Classic, Administaff Small Business Classic, and it's just a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of fun with our good friend Trudy Jean Evans. Trudy Jean is the author of The Pied Piper Principle, and which the subtitle is Lead and They Will Follow. She and I are going to talk about that in a minute. She's also the president of the Raven Group, which is a human development company that helps individuals reach their potential and companies put their best foot forward in the marketplace. Trudy Jean, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
It's good to have you back. Now, I know some of your friends call you Trudy, but you said I can call you Trudy Jean.
In fact, you know, I have taken a lot of teasing off of the Trudy Jean from you because you're right. Most people call me Trudy, but you are by far the most well-known person calling me Trudy Jean at this point.
Well, do you mind? I love that name.
No, and I love to hear it from you, so it's fine and dandy with me.
Well, Trudy Jean, you know, I'm at the Administaff Small Business Classic. This Administaff named a golf tournament after you and me. How about that?
I got a sneaky feeling it's not called Jim and Trudy's.
No, it's not, but it's called the Small Business Classic. You're a small business owner, I'm a small business owner. So that we get a tournament named after us. I think more things should be named after us, don't you think so?
I think so, absolutely.
I'm thinking aircraft carriers, I'm thinking bridges and highways. What do you think?
I think we might want to leave that last aircraft carrier just to our past president and let that go.
Oh, no. I think that's my goal. Before I die, Trudy Jean, is to have an aircraft carrier named after small business owners. But speaking of which, and they don't call me the king of Segway for nothing, Trudy Jean, you know, one of the things that a lot of small business owners don't realize is when they're building their company, things happen inside that company that create an intangible, and a lot of people call that intangible the culture of that business. And if you're a founder of a company, you're the only person in the beginning, and you're the only one who's been there from the beginning. You know, even if you wind up having 10 or 20 or 100 employees, you're the seed of that culture, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, you really are. And one of the things that I have found interesting, and I don't know if maybe it's just because I'm happening to attract this type of client right now, but I've been doing a lot of work with small businesses that start off with just a few people, and then over time, you know, they experience great growth. And what happens, it seems like, is they continue to grow, and the entrepreneur building the business naturally is working on driving revenue. He's working on controlling expenses. He's working on trying to find great people. And all of a sudden, a culture comes out of that also drives either good business standards and what I like to call business protocol or the lack of business protocol. And in one example is how many times in a small company, somebody will say, well, we're going to hire this particular job, and we're going to call them this. And, you know, a year later, somebody says, well, I don't really like that title anymore. Can I be called this instead? And an entrepreneur says, yeah, sure. And all of a sudden, we've created another job mm-hmm. position, and there's really no paperwork. That I'm trying to instill bureaucracy, but again, as a company continues to grow, they need to have some practices put in place that they can follow to continue that culture and to build a legacy.
Well, and that's hard for a lot of small companies because some business owners have come from a corporate background. They understand a little bit about corporate structure and hierarchy and you know, the difference between a manager and a vice president and things like that. A lot of small business owners don't.
Well, and that's the key, is so many of them don't. And the ones that don't, I think sometimes are the good thing is they don't understand it, so they're successful in spite of all that stuff. That
right,
stuff
exactly.
doesn't get in their way. And mm-hmm. and last year, a particular client that I worked with in Boston, what we did, he was in the same situation, and multi-million-dollar top line. But, I mean, it wasn't going in the direction that he wanted to go because he had really grown to the point that he needed help. And we did something, Jim, I'm sure you're familiar with, is what is considered in the marketplace today a SWOT analysis.
Of course.
Where you take a look at his strengths. What are the strengths of that organization? What do they do really well? What are the weaknesses? Where are they kind of hurting? What opportunities are out there that they're not seizing upon? And what types of things threaten their business? Therefore, you get the SWOT analysis: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And from doing that analysis, and it took us a couple of days to really dive into that with his executive team, we then picked up isolated areas where they definitely needed help in. And this particular company, which if you think about this template, it's almost something you could pick up and cookie cutter into somebody. They needed to refine their hiring process. You know, they needed to have mm-hmm. a better screening, a more definition of job descriptions, a better analysis of how they did behavioral interviewing. They needed to take a look at how do they bring people on board, how do they manage performance, how does that tie in with their overall business plan, and then we put around that how do all of these things support a culture that he was trying to drive. And he, in particular, was trying to go from a operationally driven organization to a sales-driven organization. Big switch, huge mindset for people to start to think, how do I drive sales if I'm sitting in the back office?
Well, one of the challenges I think that small business owners have when they try to, as they grow their business, is getting out of the trenches with their company, as they're building the engine of their company, getting out of the hold of the ship that they're building. And where the engine is, and getting up on the flybridge, and see where they're going,
if we can
ever get them up to that level, where they, I mean, at least sometime, folks, at least maybe on Saturday morning or something, just say, okay, I'm going to have a little fun. I'm going to dream about where this company might be 5 years from now. What are the structures I need to put in place from an organizational standpoint, but also from a cultural standpoint.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and that is always indicative of the challenge of the person that is doing so. You know, we grow in our career. We start off being a good worker, and we do, and we get complimented, we get recognized, we get promoted. Then all of a sudden, we're leading other people, and we're teaching them how to do, but we're still doing. But
right.
Then all of a sudden, we have to become a leader and lead others.
And that's a transition I want you to help us talk about when we come back in just a minute. Trudy Jean Evans, ladies and gentlemen, the book is called The Pied Piper Principle, and she and I will be right back after these messages. Stay with me.
At least the mystery is gone.
Won't you come away?
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from the Administaff Small Business Classic. I'll get that out in a minute. You think I'd be able to say that by now? The Administaff Small Business Classic in Woodlands, Texas, which is hard by to Houston. And we're visiting with our good friend Trudy Jean Evans, who's not in Houston. And I don't know why, Trudy Jean.
Well, because Fort Lauderdale is just a better place to be as we go into these winter months.
It's a pretty cool place. I've been there myself. And
it is a great place.
But we miss you over here at the golf tournament. Trudy Jean, we're talking about how to make the transition. Oh, by the way, before we go any further, I need you to tell my audience what your website is and how we can find your book.
My website is www.theraven group.com. It's always make sure that you put the V in the front and the Inc in the back.
Yeah.
And when you go on to my website, you can click on one of the icons there and you can see the book, The Pied Piper Principle, Lead and They Will Follow.
All right. TheRavenGroupInc.com.
Check
it out when you get a chance. Okay, we're trying to make this transition, Trudy Jean, from from being the person who has to do everything to being a manager. And this is really hard. And, you know, it's not only hard for a business owner to do that for themselves. When they hire managers, it's hard for them to see a manager not doing anything but managing, isn't it?
Well, yeah,
like a sales manager. They want a sales manager to sell, and maybe they just need to be managing.
Well, but again, I think the biggest challenge is to take that leader and, as you said before the break, have them, you know, stop and say, let me look out into the future and really steer the company instead of staying back there and trying to actually do everything. And that, you know, entrepreneurs most often are people that want to be in control. You know, they want to make the decisions. They want to be the ones that are willing to take the risk. All those things are good, but when it's time for them to pass that responsibility on and to be in more of a place of leading others, now teaching others how to do it, that is an enormous shift in the way they've been operating most likely for all of their career.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, Trudy Jean, I once worked with a group years ago when I was consulting, and this company had a great model, but they were stagnant. They couldn't seem to get out of their own way. But they had regular meetings with their people, but it was always operational meetings. And they had the foresight to say, you know what, we need some help. And it just so happened that I was the one that they called. And we had one of those retreats that people hear about.
Yeah.
And I got everybody in the company there. It was on a day when they were away from the phones and all that. And we talked about, where are you and where do you want to go? We didn't talk about customers. We didn't talk about selling. We didn't talk about buying or, you know, delivering or anything. We just talked about what does this company stand for and where does it want to go? And I'll tell you what, it was like we tied a rocket to everyone's back. That company just took off after that.
Well, and you know what, and since you mention it, I mean, I've done so many, again, that just seems to be something I've been doing lately and a lot now because of the end of the year. You'll look and facilitate retreats as you go into 2007. And just what you said, it is one of the most fun things to do from a facilitation perspective because you can actually almost watch a paradigm shift occur mm-hmm. at that moment. And that's where you're then defining culture, you know, or you can go the other way. You can say, you know, if you have a client that does want to go in a certain direction, you can help lead that retreat to like I said, the sales-driven organization that I mentioned. What we ended up doing, because we later had a retreat and we talked about it, and we had people in accounts payable saying, I pay the bills. How on earth do I help enhance sales?
Yeah.
So you started to get people to go, well, but don't you talk to people on the telephone? You know, and you started to understand how everybody that they touch could be a potential customer. And now, oh, so that's why I need to maybe treat somebody a little bit differently over the telephone, and I'm not just, quote,
right,
the payroll clerk. So, you know, again, you have that enormous shift in what you mentioned is almost in your entire thought process and how you are really communicating with people on a completely different level than what you've been used to every day.
Absolutely. Well said. And it's just amazing. But what you've got to do is you've got to get everyone's head off of and out of their little space in the building, don't you? You got to get them outside and looking around a little bit, looking down the road just a little bit.
Well, and you can't automatically say this is our, if you say our culture tomorrow is going to be providing exceeding expectations, that's always a nice one now. You
right.
can't expect people to understand what that means unless you actually give them examples. You can't wave that magic wand and say, okay, everybody, tomorrow we're going to exceed expectations and expect everyone in the organization to, quote, get it at
right.
the same level that your intention is as the leader of that company. You have to give people tangible examples so that they can say, oh, now I understand.
And you know, Trudy Jean, what can even be better than that, and I know you do this all the time, is let them help you decide what that should
be. You bet.
That's when the empowerment kicks into high gear, isn't it?
You know, one of the principles that I put in my book was that I think one of the greatest lines is, what do you suggest? When I ask anyone, what do you suggest, several things happen. They might tell me something I didn't think of.
Mm-hmm.
They are allowed to be empowered. All of a sudden, their opinion matters. But you know what, Jim? You don't also have to necessarily follow what they suggested, but at least you
get
the input.
What? When you ask somebody that question, don't miss the look on their face because you'll like it.
Trudy Jean,
right. Thank you for being here, Trudy, ladies
My
and gentlemen.
Pleasure.
The author of The Pied Piper Principle. Trudy Jean, we'll see you next time. Quick break, right back in just a few minutes with David Lorenzo. 29 after. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.